Imagine a school day built around your child's needs and interests. It's possible with K-12. K-12 powered schools are accredited, tuition-free, online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn from state-certified teachers trained to teach online. And with the flexibility to learn wherever there's internet, it can fit into any family schedule. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. You can make the switch at any time. Go to k12.com/podcast today to learn more.
A near supernatural goal from Lionel Messi.
Ronaldinho takes, and David Seaman's cut off his line, and Brazil take the lead.
Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Ole, ole, ole. Wow. Seven games in Houston, World Cup next summer. Already seeing things happening downtown, shaping up the city for this massive event. It will be the biggest sporting event ever held in Houston, or not. Probably 750,000 to a million people coming here. Some of that will be determined by the draw in December. December 5th, we'll find out the draw and kind of the schedule and where the games are going to go. Group's called the Bouncing Souls. We are gearing up for it, that's for sure. All right, so fans had their first chance to apply for tickets for the 2026 FIFA Men's World Cup. Obviously, it's in the U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Tickets aren't available to the wider public. If you're a Visa card holder, it opened at 11 a.m. Eastern time today, and it will run through 11 a.m. September 19th. It's kind of like a lottery, I guess. Those picked to buy tickets will be notified starting September 21st, and then you're given a time slot to purchase October. Sounds really, really complicated. I mean, geez. I mean, make an appointment for yourself four times so you can buy your tickets, but they will sell. And trust me, if that's the attitude you have like me, you probably won't go to the games because somebody will – we'll get them. And that's tickets for all 104 matches. They're going to be put on sale. And if you get a time slot, it doesn't necessarily guarantee tickets will be available. So you go to FIFA.com. I think if you wanted to do something high-end with a suite, you can go to LSSE.net. LSSE.net. Today it was announced that November 14th, we've got a friendly coming here. The Super Eagles of Nigeria, and we got a huge Nigerian. We got a nice Nigerian community here. They love soccer. A lot of the big star players sometimes come through Houston, the J.J. Okochas of the world, and I think even Kanu has come through. Some of the legendary names, maybe Sunday Olise, I don't know. Maybe there's somebody out there that can tell me. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. It's Destination 2026. That's the name of the show. Houston's Countdown to the Cup. It's mostly all World Cup related things, not only to just Houston, but globally what's going on. I got a lot of World Cup qualifying talk today as we got a lot of results as this window has ended in Europe and Africa and a number of places. So Nigeria is going to play Venezuela here November 14th. That's pretty cool. Love the Super Eagles. They have not made the World Cup yet. And I'll tell you about their results a little bit later. But I'm going to start off by talking about the U.S. Got a positive win last night, some positive play. people feeling a little bit better after the one game. It is one game. 713-780-3776. Your thoughts on the U.S.-Japan game? You feeling a little bit better now? You coming back in off the ledge? Were you panicking in the first place? Do you believe in Mauricio Pochettino? Should we have an American coach? I mean, we can go on and on here because everybody out there has said probably every single one of these things. But the U.S. beat Japan 2-0. They get a goal from Alejandro Zendejas. By the way, spectacular goal. Max Arfston down the left side beats somebody, gets great delivery in, and Zendejas literally kind of wraps his left foot around this. I like Zendejas. I watch Club America quite often, and he's always one of their better players. Interviewed him once here when he was just coming off injury in Houston. Fowler and Balogun. Christian Pulisic with the type of move we want to see Pulisic, turning, running at people, change of pace and tempo, and then just Pulisic lays on the perfectly weighted ball, and he plays it on the side of Balogun that is protected from the defender. But, I mean, the weight of the pass is perfect, and Balogun's finish is great. So I'm all for Balogun being the starter. So weigh in with me on the U.S. national team, 713-780-3776. So let's start with Matt Friis in goal. So Matt Friis right now, I have to believe, he's probably in the mind of Mauricio Pochettino. I'm thinking he may be the number one. I don't think any question. He's getting all the games right now. There's confidence in him. So Matt Friis is an MLS player. Now, the only other thing is that you consider there, Matt Turner's played in a lot of bigger games for the national team. He is back in MLS, too, with New England. But the goalkeeping position is a little bit, I put a circle around that. That's a little bit of a question mark. Left back, Max Arfston. He's been getting a lot of run. He's competing to be the backup to Anthony Robinson. He had a good night, and he had an assist. Now, he's benefiting because there's three center backs. Pochettino went to a three center back position. I think that's ultimately potentially something very, very good because if, in fact, Tim Ream is going to be a part of your starting lineup, you got to protect him a little bit because he's older, he's not as mobile, but he does bring the experience. So it's Ream, Richards, and a third. Last night it was Tristan Blackman, who is also now getting run. So who knows? Is that Mark McKenzie? Is that Miles Robinson in the future? Is that Cameron Carter-Vickers? I don't know. But, you know, generally if you don't have two good center backs, something to consider, let me rephrase it. Not two good center, but you have a center back that maybe you think is a liability in a 4-4-2 because of pace. You add a third. That's kind of the way I look at it. So I think this is partially to protect Tim Ream, the central area of the field. You got three center backs, and you got Tyler Adams, a wrecker and a destroyer in front of them. Alex Freeman continues to get a bit of a run under Mauricio Pochettino on the right. That obviously, I would say, the starting role there is Sergiño Dest. If you have Dest and Robinson flanking three center backs, they're going to help you in the build. They're going to have to do a ton of work box to box. And in group play, you can't burn them out like you did the last World Cup. Greg Berhalter burnt those two guys out. And by the time you got to the Netherlands, you were exhausted. It wasn't only him. It was a lot of guys. Maybe they didn't have enough depth. But remember, they had to advance on the final game of the group stage. So navigating the tournament and hopefully getting a draw where it can make it a little bit easier for you is a good thing. Tyler Adams is a pillar. He's got to be there. Christian Roldan, he's experienced. He's focused. I would say he's a good bet to make the final roster. And where is Yunus Musa and where is Weston McKennie? McKennie's been coming off the bench at Juventus, I think. Haji Wright is another one you got to think about in the striker position. Ricardo Pepi. The question is where do they fit in the mind of the manager, Mauricio Pochettino. Okay, you had Pulisic with the breaking of the line, the weighted pass. You had Zendejas. Let's listen to Zendejas' goal. This is the opener. This is Max Arfston, down the left side. He beats a Japanese player, gets in a wonderful delivery, and literally Zendejas wraps his leg around a defender and hits this beautifully.
Arfston going on the outside does well. That's a decent cross into the middle, and it's Zendejas! 1-0 for the United States. Alex Zendejas with a goal.
Second goal would come from Fallarin Balogun after, as I mentioned, the beautifully weighted pass from Christian Pulisic.
Here's the ball played through towards Balogun. It's a chance for Balogun! It's 2-0. Balogun with the goal.
So I am a big fan of Balogun being the starting striker, I think. I think with the U.S., you have to have somebody who's got a turn of pace, who's a threat vertically in that position. I think that kind of eliminates a little bit a very good striker. And Josh. And then you had Zendejas and Pulisic behind Balogun in this game. But the question is, you know, where, and by the way, a lot can change now based on club performance. But this has all been, for Pochettino, I think, a real overview of what he has and what he's doing. I know a lot of people are upset. We should have our perfect 11 out there now. The pundits, everybody's got a different opinion on it. That's all good. That's fine. But, you know, he seems to be doing it his way, and his way right now isn't the first 11, because that may be a question in his mind. I have to think you have to dip into the resources of all the guys that played in the last World Cup and advanced that have that World Cup experience. I have to think a majority of those guys are going to go. So let's hear what Mauricio Pochettino had to say after this game with Japan.
Yes, I think always when we talk about that sport, soccer always is about to win. But in the way that you try to win is important. And for us to build that process to arrive after 90 minutes with the possibility to win is important. And yes, I am so pleased because I think the play that deserved that result did deserve a little bit more against South Korea, but we didn't get. But when you are strong in your ideas and in your belief, I think it's about to keep going and never give up. So happy for that. Yes, I say thank you now after the game. Important in about to keep building that relationship and for them in an individual way to push in their own clubs to be better and better and better and be ready in case that we call again. By the way, also I want to say thank you to the fans in Columbus because we're fantastic. It's good to have different plans, approach to the games, use different formation. That is similar when we build from back with three. It's one of the fullbacks, you know, is drop or sometimes the midfielder, one midfielder. It's about to maybe to be more consistent. It's more that formation is more simple to understand for the players than the formation that we start again South Korea.
So he's playing with tactics. He's learning things about his team. I think a lot of people are out there with the notion that he's here to take millions of dollars and leave after the World Cup. Well, he's a hired gun. I don't think he's here long term. He's a hired gun, and what's going to count for a hired gun is what he does in the World Cup. Now, are you going to be happy if we end up doing the exact same thing we've done in the other ones as in the last one, which was our marker now, is to get out of the group and advance in the knockout stages. So there's a lot going on there with an Argentine manager. There's a lot of people that say, oh, it has to be an American coach. There's some validity to that argument, too. There's been foreign managers that are successful, and there are domestic managers that have been successful. So Mauricio Pochettino's got a big challenge. He was a little bit happier about the turnout of fans in Columbus. the win can help. You know, I think what a lot of people are confusing is, you know, we all want to have a run up to this. That's exciting too. And that is with players, star building, the players' performance. So this is one you can build off from that standpoint a little bit. But as a coach, I don't think he's that concerned with that because he knows it's all about the results. The numbers in this game, 55% of the possession went to the United States. They had 19 shots, 11 on goal. It's a good ratio. And Matt Freeze had 6 saves. So we do see that Mauricio Pochettino is giving consistent minutes to Matt Freeze, Max Arfston, decent minutes to Alex Freeman, Tristan Blackman, and even the Houston Dynamo's Jack McGlynn has been getting it off the bench. He hit the crossbar. He had 2 great chances. If he makes the World Cup, Jack McGlynn, and I hope he does because he's a wonderful young man, his role will be, I would assume, very much coming off the bench against teams that have fatigued a bit. And he's basically making a little yard or two of space for himself and using that left foot. That's kind of what I see there. But again, a big question mark to me is, where is Weston McKennie? What's going on with Yunus Musah? Where does Haji Wright fit into the picture here? Where does Ricardo Pepi figure into the picture here? And I would like your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Is there an American outlaw in Houston that wants to call me? Come on. Subs, Nathan Harriel. Sergiño Dest came on in this game after starting the other one. Jack McGlynn, as we mentioned, from the Houston Dynamo. It's a great thing. We've had him on the show. He came out to the live show we had at Senate Avenue Brewing. Jack is a wonderful young man. Great interview. Had another great interview out there last night. Brian was out there. And we had from the Houston Dash, their outstanding goalkeeper, Jane Campbell. And Jane was a really, really good interview last night, too. Also off the bench, Luca De La Torre. Damian Downs. Downs had a great give and go with Diego Luna that could have turned into something special. So the Pulisic to Balogun goal was a good one. Let's take a listen to that one and how that one came off.
Here's the ball played through towards Balogun. It's a chance for Balogun! It's 2-0! Balogun with the goal!
So this was on TNT, but I watched, I didn't watch it because I was doing live radio, but we had the monitors on there and I was looking from afar and we were getting updates. But I normally watch it on the Spanish channel. So Balogun is playing at Monaco and you're going to see guys now really pushing to do everything they possibly can to make a World Cup roster. And that is, when you're not playing in front of the coach, that is club performance and what you're doing at your club. And all of this is going to get factored into a final roster put together. And then we find out who we're going to play December 5th as the United States. And everybody will figure it out what their groups are going to look like. And part of the navigation of a tournament is sort of the games you get, the type of opponent you get, the quality of the opponent. A lot of that has to do with, in a short tournament, the ability to then navigate it better and be economical with the way you put minutes on players. I think the United States, you know, obviously in the last World Cup, I think it was a very, very vivid and very, very clear example of, you know, we rode our horses too hard in the first 3 games to get through, you know. And when you're in the 3rd game and you got to get a result, I mean, nobody's thinking about how tired anybody's going to be. It's just about getting to the next round, and then you're going to deal with that. But that was, I think it's a bit of a problem for the U.S. So if I was to pick my national team lineup right now, and if you want to help me with this, 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. The climate seems a bit tempered on the U.S. But I would say right now it would be Matt Freeze in goal. I would say Anthony Robinson is your left back, and I'm going to say we're going with a three center back system. Dest will be obviously on the right side. Those two guys are going to have to do a lot of running in the wide areas. They're going to have Pulisic. Okay, so then the three center backs would be obviously first choice right now is Chris Richards. Athletic, young, Crystal Palace, Premier League. He is growing with his distribution in a big, big way, in my opinion. It's visibly better. He's breaking more lines with passes instead of simply just always playing the safe little 10-yard pass to somebody to his right or left or 15-yard pass. He's growing. He's growing in leadership. Tim Ream, you get the experience out there, so he would play off the shoulder of Richards. And then, man, it's a toss-up the other position. It's McKenzie, it's Robinson, Carter Vickers, Blackman. It's one of those. I mean, those, you know, who's playing in the tougher environments? Who's got the more experience? And then your right back is obviously Sergiño Dest, probably backed up by Freeman. I don't know what's happened to Joe Scally either, who is getting a lot of time. Tyler Adams, the holding midfielder. I'm hoping Weston McKennie can make a comeback because those two guys navigated a World Cup together already. I think Christian Roldan is experienced. I think he's focused. I think he's 100% footballer from the Seattle Sounders. I think he could be a good roster player and could step in. Yunus Musa, very athletic. People were very high on him. I think club form is going to be a big piece with him. Then ahead of them is obviously Christian Pulisic. Then in that other attacking place, that could be McKennie a little bit higher. I don't think it would be him. It could be Musa. That's to be figured out, I think, depending on how Adams and if it's McKennie a bit lower, how those two would play. And then your striker for me, the pole position, I have to give it to Fowler and Balogun right now at this moment. But that can change. U.S. will have friendlies against Paraguay and Uruguay. Paraguay has qualified for the World Cup out of South America. Big, big deal. The president of the country shut the entire country down to celebrate. Paraguay has not been back for quite some time. So let's see. We have U.S., Mexico, and Canada as hosts. We got Japan, New Zealand, Iran. These are all teams that have qualified. Argentina, Uzbekistan, South Korea, Jordan, Australia. So Uzbekistan, Jordan, I mean, they're benefiting from a 48-team World Cup. Uruguay is in, Colombia is in, Paraguay is in, Argentina, Brazil. Bolivia, I believe, has claimed the playoff spot. They have pipped Venezuela on that because Bolivia just beat Brazil the other night. Ecuador is the other one out of South America. South America is grueling. I think for me, it's the tournament to me that or the qualification in that continent is more grueling than any. Anybody can beat anybody on any given day. It's not like Europe. I think there's a lot more challenges with altitude. There's a lot of challenges with, you know, the quality of surfaces there. Very, very different in a lot of cases than Europe. So six countries go from Asia. Oceania, as we mentioned, though their representatives are complete. We won't know Europe and CONCACAF till November. Africa's still got three rounds to play. They get nine automatic and one in the playoff. And we were talking about the fact that Nigeria tied South Africa. Victor Osimhen did not play in that. Another important one was Senegal over Congo 3-2. South Africa, again, and Nigeria tied 1-1. Nigeria's coming to Houston. England 5-0 over Serbia. Norway 11-1 over Moldova. Guess who had five goals in that? And he doesn't want to be one of those guys that ends up having an amazing club career that never goes to a World Cup. He does not want to be that guy. That is Erling Haaland. Had five goals against poor Moldova. But see, 11-1, 5-0, you're not seeing those types of results in South America too often. Games are just too tight, too grueling. There's a lot of political implications in these things. People don't like each other, honestly, in a lot of cases. as we know. And genuine dislike, I would say, is what it is when it comes to footballing. Okay, Cyprus and Romania. Romania continues to struggle. France 2-1 over Iceland. Oh, that was a bad penalty that was given. Guy dragged his leg, held it in there in order to draw the contact. That one infuriated me. That's when you think the fix is in for the French. 2-1 over Iceland. Did I just say that? Chouamani got red carded in that game. France is leading their group. Portugal 3-2 over Hungary. CR7 again. CR7 is going to be another, at 40 years of age, he's going to be another big story at this World Cup. Cristiano Ronaldo. There's no question. And with Messi in it as well for Argentina. Portugal 3-2 over Hungary. Joao Cancelo got the game winner. Here's a shocker. Armenia, ranked 150 in the world, knocks off the Republic of Ireland. Okay, this is Raving George. We're going to go to a break here. We're going to come back. We're going to remind you of a couple of really good events. We're going to talk a little Mexican national team as well. Vasco Aguirre, how do you think he's doing, Mexico fans? 713-780-3776. This is Destination 2026, brought to you by Houston Methodist, Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy, Quanta, and, of course, our newest sponsor. It is Visit Sugarland. And you know why you're going to visit Sugarland? Because there's an airport there. And if you are a high-ender, you're going to come in your private jet, and you're going to be really close to downtown. You'll be closer to Energy Stadium by using the Sugarland Airport. How about that? So Sugarland's all in on it. Good for them. And it's 'cause you're mad.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Destination 2026, Houston's countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back, everybody. A couple of things here. Merchandise for FIFA World Cup 2026 in Houston. FWC26Houston.com for merch. Also information on volunteering. FIFA.com/tickets or LSSE.net for World Cup tickets. You got to kind of get in line now. There's a big process to go through this. It's been announced November 14th. Nigeria will play Venezuela here. Nigeria still has work to do to get into the World Cup. Venezuela has been eliminated. They thought they were going to get that playoff spot until Bolivia beat Brazil yesterday. Okay, with that, we bring in our next guest. A man that's been a big part of promoting games and involved in Houston for so many, many years. Worked with the legendary Victor Delgadillo, worked with Eduardo Beltramini bringing games here and promoting them and the operations. He's spent a lot of time around the Argentine national team as well. And, of course, has always been a big supporter of the youth game in Houston as well. He's Rodrigo De Luna. He joins us now. Rodrigo, how are you?
Good evening, Glenn. How are you today, sir?
Good. All right, so you're my Mexico expert. So give us an overview of where you think the country of Mexico sits with the Mexican national team as it's preparing itself for World Cup 2026.
Well, good question. You know, Mexico... you know, can't help but see itself in the foot. I believe that because they've taken the commercial route over the footballing route for so many, many years that they're playing the college now. The coach, Vasco Aguirre, I mean, he's behind. You see, last episode, he's a facility. You know, creates
Rodrigo, hold up a second. We're having a hard time hearing you. I don't know what's with your phone, but you're not on a speakerphone, are you?
No. Can you hear me?
Is it coming through okay, Brian? Hold on, because I'm having a hard time hearing you, and I don't know if it's just me or...
He's not on a speakerphone.
Okay. It's coming through okay?
No, I'm not on speakerphone.
Okay. All right. Well, let's continue.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better. Much better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, much better.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I don't know what happened.
Okay, it's better.
I can hear you fine.
Yeah, it's better now. You're coming through clear. So continue on with Mexico.
Well, you know, Mexico is paying the price right now for so many years, putting as priority the commercial aspect over the footballing aspect. They've got the wrong people running the show. So many managers over the past years, you know, and there's no set squad yet. There's no set style of play. Javier Aguirre, who is coaching the team now, you know, he's stubborn. He sticks with one set. You know, he still does a 4-3-3. He will not adjust when the other team adjusts. And we saw that yesterday in the against South Korea. You know, the players, you know, he switches around players. So Mexico still has a long way to go before they can say, yeah, we're ready. We're just about ready for a World Cup next year. It's paying the price for doing things wrong for the last 2 decades.
Does it seem similar to some of the complaints about the U.S.? And do you think Mexico will begin to live up to it as we get closer and closer to the World Cup? Because after all, they're opening the World Cup in the legendary Azteca Stadium.
Well, you know, you still have several months of work to do, you know, and it's hard to say, really. You know, because you've seen teams where they, in friendlies, you know, they do very well, very well. Then when they play the tournaments, the bottom drops off. And you've seen also the reverse. You know, USA right now is also being criticized on this side of the river because, you know, they're not playing well. But neither is Mexico. You know, in Canada, there's only one right now that shows probably a little bit of more promise. So it's very hard to say, Glenn. You still have some time left and there's still more friendlies to play. It all means see how everything's going to be played out, what's going to happen, what kind of changes are coming.
Mexico 2-2 with South Korea last night, outshot them 17-8, 6 on target to 3. They had 55% of the possession in this game. You got goals from the two Jimenezes, Raul Jimenez in the 22nd, who's come back from that horrific injury, and Santi Jimenez got the equalizer in stoppage time. So if he doesn't get the equalizer, it's a little different day in the media, right?
Still, no, the Mexican media is still attacked because you understand the Mexican media live off of three things, off of three words: crisis, which is crisis, fracaso, which is failure, and bombazo, which is like, wow, the next big thing, right?
Yeah.
So the media live off of throwing rocks at teams and national teams. That's what they do, right? And you have, it's funny because you have a lot of ex-coaches on these panels that are worse. You have no reason saying anything. So you can't really go off that. But if you watch the game, Mexico made some very crucial mistakes. In the second half, when South Korea went up 2-1, mm-hmm. They changed. You see, they changed the line of defense. Bosco did nothing to adjust.
I'm hearing you don't think Bosco Aguirre is a good tactician. And by the way, what is this, his third time coaching Mexico? So he's definitely an in-the-system guy, right?
He's not a tactician, from what I understand. People have told me, who know what's going on and the stuff I've seen, he doesn't study the opposition as deeply as he should. You know, and Mexico has always been where you have one guy on your staff that does nothing but watch videos, go watch games, and does a report where he hands it into the coaching staff. And this is what I see. These are our opponents coming up. Right? Mourinho used to have Andres Diaz Boas. He did nothing but study the opposition. Right? La Volpe was good on that. Manuel Apuente was good at that.
Rodrigo, these are all names that Rodrigo's mentioning are former Mexican national team coaches.
Yeah. Yeah, so to what
I'm saying, for Mourinho,
not really. Yeah, it does not. This does not do that. So he gets his players out there. He motivates them. He tells them to go out there and play. You know, playing for Mexico, but he's not really. From what I understand, you can see it in the game. There's no adjustments in.
All right, so you've made that point clearly. Who are some of your favorite players on this team, and who do you think are guys for you that would shine for Mexico in the World Cup?
You know, unfortunately, you have Edson Álvarez that got hurt really early on in the game. You know, he's going to start playing for Fenerbahce, which is sad. You know, again, it's a question of goalkeepers. Raúl Rangel didn't really shine yesterday. You know, I stick my neck out for Santiago Jiménez and Raúl Jiménez, right? Santiago Jiménez shut a lot of people up. They were telling, oh, he's no good. You know, Milan wants to get rid of him. And he's still there. And he come out to find out that Zlatan Ibrahimovic, you know, talked him into staying. Allegri said, hey, what happened to the guy? His work ethic is good. So there's, so I stick up for those players, right? There's players that should not be on there.
What about Chucky? Yeah, Chucky Lozano. What about Chucky Lozano?
Chucky Lozano is still good. He's smart. He's won things. He's smart. He plays for the team. You know, he'll risk himself. He doesn't mind playing out wide coming in, so he's good. I think he's matured a lot playing in the Eredivisie and playing in the Serie A.
We're talking to Rodrigo De Luna, who a long time has been involved in promoting games in here at the professional level. He's worked with Argentina when they come into town and all the great promoters in the past, Soccer United Marketing as well. Rodrigo, okay, so I got to bring this up because, you know, Mexico always has this connection to Memo Rodriguez. And there's still this talk that they're going to bring him to, what is this, a fifth or sixth World Cup? It would tie the record.
Memo Ochoa?
Yeah, Memo Ochoa, the goalkeeper. And I know he's a marketing machine.
Memo Ochoa. Here's the thing is, and you know, here's a guy that should already know he's past his prime. He needs to retire. Right, here's a guy because he wants, again, it's about me, it's about himself. He wants to go to a sixth World Cup, but he's not up to it. I mean, if you look at his last years, he's relegated three teams. He's taken over 1,000 goals. This last team he was winning in Portugal, they almost relegated. They had to play a playoff game. They played without him, and they stayed alive. His reflexes are not there anymore. He's past his prime. He had his time when he was well. He played against Brazil very well. But his time is past, you know, and this is a guy that doesn't want to realize it because he wants a personal accolade.
Right, but do you think Guillermo Ochoa, who's played, he hasn't played, but he's been to 5 World Cups, he wants to go to a 6th. Do you think that's something that Mexico is going to oblige and just say, or do you think he could actually go as a third goalkeeper and provide some experience or help to the current 1 and 2?
One of Mexico's sponsors, Gaia, it's a sponsor of the national team. Memo Ochoa is an investor.
Okay.
Memo Ochoa is still seen as a viable marketing tool. He's a very handsome man. He's got charisma. The ladies love him. He sells.
He's selling tequila. I see him in a tequila commercial flying through the air.
Yeah, you understand, Mexico prioritizes commerciality over the football. I would not be surprised if they force Vasco to put him as a third goalkeeper when someone else can go in his place. It would be more useful. But this is the way Mexico has been operating for many, many years. And you see now the results of that. Now, if they take Memo Ochoa, you know, and they say Mexico doesn't achieve that quinto partido, they need to go to the next round.
Yeah.
If they're out 0-3, and they take this guy, Ochoa. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the humiliation?
Yep. So let me position it with the man, and this is a record, Antonio Carvajal. They called him Tota. He went to 5 World Cups. They also, El Cinco Copas. He went to 5 World Cups, and he played in them. Would this tarnish the great record that he has? If somebody was brought gratis to go and they get number 6, because Carvajal has always been like this legendary name in Mexican football.
But Memo Ochoa's been in 5 World Cups, but he didn't play in all of them. He didn't play in South Africa. Mm. He didn't play in Germany. You know, he didn't. He was.
But
there,
a lot of people play. Won't. Yeah, but a lot of people won't even make that distinction. Sometimes they'll just think, "Oh, he played in 6, you know, right?"
Yeah, no, he didn't play. He did not play.
Right.
He did not play. He was there. But Carvajal is a legend. Carvajal was there because he was still good. He was one of those players that was still good, like Oscar Perez was in South Africa. He closed my mouth. He did a fantastic job.
Conejo Perez.
Oscar Perez.
He was a small goalkeeper, but, man, he was athletic and fun. Hey, listen, Rodrigo, we have to go. We're up on a hard break. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. That's Rodrigo De Luna. Rodrigo, thank you for all the information on Mexico. Enjoyed it.
Thank you, Glenn. God bless. Take care.
Yes, Rodrigo De Luna. Yeah, he's worked with a lot of the great promoters in the day. And big part of our soccer community, too. Love having him on. He tells it like it is, for sure. I don't think he's a big fan of Javier Aguirre as a head coach, that's for sure. We'll take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to re-air the interview of the young lady that produced the poster for FIFA World Cup here. Stephanie Leal is up next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Austin going on the outside, does well. That's a decent cross into the middle, and it's Sendejas! 1-0 for the United States! Alex Sendejas with a goal!
This is Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup.
Presented by Coca-Cola Southwest, Houston Methodist, NRG, and Quanta.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Final segment of the night tonight. I want to get you caught up on a couple of things. We got our Monday Night Football viewing coming up on the 15th from 6 to 8 p.m. Monday Night Football, 1974.eventbrite.com. The reason why this one's important, 1974, West Germany will defeat the Netherlands in the World Cup final. Germany was not unified, obviously, at the time. Great rivals with the Netherlands. Germany was led by Franz Beckenbauer, Paul Breitner, Sepp Maier. Helmut Schön was the coach. For the Netherlands, it was Rinus Michels, along with Johan Cruyff, the great architect in midfield. That was all about total football. Johan Neeskens on that team. As well as all kinds of other Dutch stars playing for that team, including one that played briefly and was on the roster here with the Houston Dynamos back in the 80s, Wim Serbier. Okay, Monday Night Football, 1974.eventbrite.com. And again, that will be at Houston City College coming up. West Germany against the Netherlands. That's Monday the 15th. Our great friend Batiri, the artist, has done a wonderful job with this event. And he's also got an art exhibition, The Road to 2026, featuring the beautiful game September 30th through October 17th. And all these events are held at Eastside Campus, Houston City College. So a big thank you to Batiri for that. But that'll be really cool. That's an official FIFA film. And it really gives you a glimpse into the past and the remarkable history that such a unique and sacred event, the World Cup, brings us. And, of course, hard to believe, we are hosting 7 of those games here in Houston starting next June. So pretty remarkable. Stephanie Leal won the poster competition. She's an artist, graduated from the University of Houston. She got the official FIFA World Cup 26 poster. How cool is that? That's like you're in history now for what'll be the most significant sporting event in the history of the city. Her poster's got a lot of different things in it, but it's basically an astronaut. His name is Orion. He's chesting down a soccer ball. The soccer ball's got a huge logo of Texas because we are such a great soccer state, and I would say we are a great soccer city here in Houston. We have people from all over the world that love the sport spill out onto fields every night. The astronaut has the captain's armband. You got a cowboy hat floating in there, honoring that part of, you know, the rodeo and how important that is in the city. And then you got the Houston skyline in the background. So it's a great, great piece that she came up with and a great poster. And
You can purchase one. That's easy to find it online. But she got it done. And she was the one who had her poster chosen. She went to the University of Houston. So we re-air her interview from last week. Here is Stephanie Leal.
Stephanie, thank you for coming on the show.
Of course. It's an absolute pleasure to be speaking with you.
Yeah, nice to be speaking with you, too. I mean, I'm just looking at the poster, and we'll describe it in a minute. But I'm thinking to myself, you know, you now are like etched in World Cup history, whether you know it or not, right?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, right?
It's incredible. It's pretty surreal.
Yeah, so how did you find out? Because there was a lot of bids submitted by a lot of artists. So tell me how you found out and, you know, what your initial thoughts were. Take us through the emotion of this as an artist, because you're putting yourself out there with this. Take us through it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had the opportunity to be the lead designer at the Houston Dynamo, Houston Dash, for a few years. And when I left the team, my mentor from the Dynamo, he actually sent me the post that the account for the Houston World Cup posted looking for artists. And he said, he told me, you know, they're looking for an artist, you should try it. And, you know, I submitted my portfolio. I didn't think I was going to make it this far, but here I am.
It's incredible. So I'm looking at it right now. And by the way, I posted Stephanie's FIFA World Cup poster up. I mean, this is going to be a keepsake. You should get one. Because this is something that's frameable and it will be indelibly etched in history. But I'm looking at it right now and it's really cool because it's an astronaut, because we're a space city. He's leaning back, chesting a soccer ball in the full astronaut garb. We got a little bit of the galaxy out in the distance. We got a goal in the background, and we got a cowboy hat kind of floating off him as well. So describe, you know, how you came up with the idea and then ultimately put this, you know, to work.
Yeah, I think the first thing I did was, you know, listen to a good World Cup playlist, you know, some Shakira and Ricky Martin, just to get in the vibe of the World Cup. And from there, I just started writing down ideas and words that remind me of Houston, of what does Houston mean to me? And a lot of those words, you know, were, like you mentioned, Space City, the Houston Rodeo, and, you know, the skyline, and diversity, and just so many other words that, for me, describe Houston. So that's kind of how I went with it. Just the inspiration around the city itself, too, and there's a lot of art around Houston, and to me it was really important to, you know, grab inspiration from everywhere, from the city, and I was able to
create
this poster like that.
You could see it in the piece, and then you've also got, you know, the globe in there as well, which is, I mean, that's soccer, right? It's inclusive to everybody. I mean, it doesn't need to be fragmented. The entire world loves it, plays it, the same like here in Houston. I want to remind people, if you go to at Glendave Sock, or if you go over to at Soccer Matters GD on Twitter, I posted Stephanie's poster in one of the promos for tonight's show. So you can take a look at it there. But where else can people learn about your artwork, Stephanie?
Yeah, of course. They can follow me on Instagram. It's st.leo. And, you know, they can follow my journey and this crazy dream that I'm living. So follow me.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you the big question. Who is your favorite who is your favorite soccer team?
Soccer team. Okay. Are we talking national or
Let's go with national team, since we're on the World Cup theme. Let's start with that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, so I have to go with Mexico. I was born in Mexico and came here when I was very little, and I've been in Houston ever since. But, you know, Mexico does have a very special place in my heart. So, yeah, I have to go with Mexico.
So the Mexican national team, El Tri. Who is your favorite Mexican national team player? Could be past, present, or potentially future.
Oh, man, that's a really good question. He retired not too long ago, Andrés Guardado.
Yeah.
what he did for Mexico. He's incredible, very consistent player, and I absolutely love his style of play. And but if I go bigger, I think Rafa Márquez was especially one of our biggest legends in Mexico. So.
Boy, those are two great names. I'll tell you a real quick story about Andreas Guardado. My friend is Efrain Flores, who was the interim manager of Mexico, but also ran the Atlas Youth Club. And we were both in player development at the time, and he had the Atlas bus drive up here. And all these little kids got off. They were going to homestay. We were going to play games over the course of a couple of days, and they were going to get on the bus and drive all the way back to Guadalajara, Mexico. And one little boy came off the bus with his mother. And Efrain said, oh, yeah, his mom would not let him come by himself. Well, many years later, Efrain says to me, you know who the kid who got off the bus with his mother was? That was Andreas Guardado's mother on the bus, who rode all the way from Guadalajara with him to play in Bear Creek Park and places like that with the Atlas youth team. I thought that's a cool story and connection.
Yeah.
All right, now what about club team? What's your favorite club team?
You're gonna get me in trouble here, but I have to go with Tigres from Mexico. But Obviously, I work with the Houston Dynamo, so I have to rep my Houston Dynamo here.
I knew you were. Yeah, I knew that was gonna be an interesting one for me. Now, did you go when Tigres filled the stadium? Did you go to that game?
I recently went to Monterrey to see my first Tigres game in person.
Oh, in El Volcan.
In El Volcan, yeah. It was really a dream come true. It's something I've been wanting to do since I was a little girl, and I finally got to do it. It was incredible. The environment was incredible. You know, you can feel the passion that people have for the team, and it was definitely a different and unique experience.
That does it tonight for Destination 2026, brought to you by Houston Methodist. Also brought to you by Coca-Cola Southwest, Energy Quanta, and our newest sponsor, Visit Sugarland, who becomes an important additional city when it comes to the World Cup next summer. Podcast of this show, you get it at Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, ESPN975.com. And, of course, every Tuesday, it's Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. And every Wednesday, it's Destination 2026, Houston's Countdown to the Cup. For Brian McDonald, I'm Glenn Davis. Until next Tuesday night, remember, World Cup 2026 is around the corner.